Hello, my soul-seeking friends. It's Shanna. Thank you so much for listening to Sense of Soul podcast, enlightening conversations with like-minded souls from around the world, sharing their journey of finding their light within, turning pain into purpose, and awakening to their true sense of soul. If you like what you hear, show me some love and rate, like, and subscribe. And consider becoming a Sense of Soul Patreon member, where you will get ad-free episodes, monthly circles, and much more. Now go grab your coffee, open your mind, heart, and soul. It's time to awaken. Today, back with us, we have Phil Webster. He is a writer, actor, and spiritual teacher. He joined me last year to tell me about his book, Letting Glow, a profound personal account of his experience with grief in losing his mother in 2021. He invites the reader to join him on a journey of exploring our connection with our higher consciousness. And today he's joining us to tell us about his new book, Glowing Deeper, where he effortlessly blends the mystical into the everyday practical. His book includes meditations and a history of the esoteric, ancient beliefs and ceremonies. And since I've met Phil, I've become very fond of him, and I can't wait to share him with you again. So please welcome Phil Webster. Hey.
How are you doing?
I'm super excited to see you again. How have you been? Where have you been?
Where have I been? That's true. It's been a strange year. Like, randomly went to Iraq to shoot a TV show for 5 weeks just prior to the current situation in the Middle East. It didn't touch whereabouts I was, but there were like echoes of it edging towards where we were. So I kind of took the initiative and got out of there a week before I should have done. But we finished filming and everything, so it was, it was fine. But yeah, it was quite an adventure getting out of there. It was like literally running for the plane, that kind of scenario. But
oh my gosh, are you serious? That's crazy.
Yeah, there was some confusion around visas and stuff. I'd overstayed my visa, and the production company said they'd take care of it. They didn't. I got to the airport. They're like, "Well, yeah, you can't go." And I'm like, "No, I'm going." And it was like down to the wire. You know, the thing was, so there was an American airbase next to the airport, wow, getting repeatedly attacked by drones during that week. So nobody was killed. A couple of people had minor injuries, but my concern was that if they kept attacking the American airbase, and this was kind of like independent terrorist groups, essentially, the airport might get shut down, which had happened before I'd ever gone there. And then I'm like stuck there for longer. And so I just kind of got out of there where I could. And, overall, it was a positive experience, but I was happy to get back to London.
Yeah. You know, sometimes you hear about things across the world and you're so far from it that you don't really fully understand.
Yeah, I mean, I'm definitely not going to pretend that I had experienced anything that, the horrific things that have been going on lately. And it was really the week I left was kind of the week that everything kicked off. And I was in Kurdistan, I must admit that. So far, they've managed to sort of keep out of the whole thing. But they do have a lot of enemies around them because they're trying to be independent of Iraq, but they're still part of Iraq. Iran aren't fans of them, Turkey aren't fans of them, all that. So all this stuff I didn't know before I'd gone there. So I kind of learned about it very quickly. And yeah, I got to admit, like, the sort of attitude from people just walking down the street, because I kind of stood out over there, and like everyone was super polite, and then all of a sudden they weren't, like, during that love, like, people kind of pushing me out of the way and stuff like this. And I was like,
so there was a shift in energy.
Yeah. And I was thinking, am I just imagining it or what? But then a colleague of mine that was working on the same TV show in his 60s, and he was like, it's probably time you go. He was like, I've seen things escalate out of nothing, you know. He's been there his whole life. Like, yeah, all right, well, take your advice. But yeah, overall positive experience. People were really nice. And I learned a lot more about acting than I used to. Yeah.
Interesting.
Yeah, it's intense. It was intense, you know. And I've also should mention there was in this place called Erbil Citadel, which is allegedly the oldest citadel, sort of a continuously inhabited citadel, like, in the world. So, like, from ancient Mesopotamia, and where they believe that spiritual writing first came from. And I was like, well, how weird that I'll end up there, you know. Not that I feel like I'm any great spiritual writer or anything like that, but it was just kind of a weird synchronicity. And I was there, and it was a really interesting place. You know, it was kind of like an old castle, and it was just kind of built on this mound that they just kept building on for millennia. So it's just kind of like this big hill with this the structure on top of it. And I got there and I was thinking, well, am I going to, like, touch something and just be transported to the Black Sea? You know what I mean? But nothing. I didn't get anything from it. But somebody pointed out to me, who knows, maybe whatever I learned there in the spiritual sense might come later on.
Oh, that's so, it's so amazing. I know when you had told me that you were over there, at the time I was reading like the Sumerian text, and
Yeah, right. I remember now. Yeah.
yeah, I was totally in a deep dive with all that stuff, so I was
For
fascinated.
sure, you know more about it than I do, that's for sure, you know. Yeah. I was
Yeah,
reading the script
I would
again
have
while I was
loved
there.
to, yeah, told you to like go sneak and take some pictures of some ancient relics or something. That it's crazy too, because you know, you think about all of these places that are so ancient and so holy and tell so much about early civilization and possibly even how we came to be, and they're having war and destruction in some of these places, and it's heartbreaking.
No, it is, and it's all, I mean, it's beyond my understanding, you know. Of course, we're all hearing about it, and I don't want to be ignorant to it, but at the same time, it's difficult to see it, isn't it? You know, it's like, God, really, now we're still doing this, like in 2024. But
Yeah, I know.
yeah, how have you been?
I've been good. I've been, I kind of feel like what you just said, like I don't want to be ignorant to, all of the negativity that's going on in wars and even with America. And but then in the same, I'm trying to just stay in my own space and kind of mind my own business and continue to work on, my own journey.
Yeah, absolutely. I just listened to your podcast on genealogy. I found that fascinating. Firstly, because I've always been obsessed with New Orleans, I've never been there. So all that you guys are talking about all around that, and that you're from there, and all, wow, this is like really deep, you know.
I
I didn't even
know.
pretend. The only reason that I'm like fascinated with it was as a kid, and then all through my adulthood, I read all of Anne Rice's books, and
Oh,
she described the place like so beautifully, you
well,
know.
that's because she lived there.
And I was just like, always thought that I'd get around to visiting it at some point, or before now, still haven't,
Well,
but
I'll meet you out there and I'll give you a tour.
yeah, please do. Yeah, no, I'd
Yeah.
love to go there. I really
You
would.
know,
And
I have a story about Anne Rice and the house that she lived in. I want to say was, well, it was right across from this place that my mom went to school. It was called, well, back then it was the Ursuline Nuns Convent. When my mom went there, it was the St. Mary's Italian School. And next door to Anne Rice was a house that I had found that I had ancestors that lived in. And I learned about the story of the king's daughters. This is so fascinating.
All right.
So when the men were sent over, or those first boats that went over from France to the port of New Orleans, those very first ones in like 1700s, there was more men than women, of course, because the men were building. And so, and as they built and start to expand and colonize, they didn't have enough women to, continue the population to grow, have it grow. And so the king was like, well, I'll send you women.
Okay,
And
yeah, you mentioned that. I heard you mention that.
it's so crazy, but the story is that they came in at night, and it had taken 2 months to travel, and they were pale and hungry, and you were lucky to live if you even got over the transatlantic. And so they get over here and they arrive in the middle of the night. And all of their luggage were in these pine boxes, and they lined them up the Mississippi River. And the Ursuline nuns took them in and bathed them and gave them clothes, like white gowns is what it was said. And then they let them kind of like explore because, they'd been on water for so long. So all of a sudden, the men or the people of New Orleans that were there see all of these women out of nowhere in the middle of the night in their white gowns and their long pine boxes lined up on the Mississippi. And that's where the rumor of vampires started.
Really? All right. Interesting. Interesting. Yeah,
Yeah.
never heard of that. No reason why I should hear of that, other than being a sort of vampire geek, but No, that's really interesting. Never heard that before.
Could see how that would, they'd be walking down the street. Where the hell did all these women come from? And where are those boxes that are lined up? Yeah.
Walking around in the
Like
night.
they're coffins. Yeah.
Interesting. But yeah, so I just really enjoyed that episode. I've always struggled finding out any history of my own in terms of family and heritage and stuff like that. So yeah, I found it really interesting. I've sort of gone through the thing, I went through 23andMe or something like that. and then it just stopped. I can see all these, people going in every direction, mostly in America, actually. But I tried to sort of track down my father's lineage, and he was adopted, right? Well, the last time I spoke to him, I was 18. He'd never met them. So he did track down his dad, but his dad was a soldier from the States who met an English woman, and that's how my dad came about. So he went back to the States. My dad actually tracked him down. I think he used to get like a birthday card like every year or something from America. So he went over there and he was like, okay, nice to meet you, but I've got a wife and family and all that stuff. But anyway, yeah, this woman that I got in touch with, she was just seemed ultra suspicious of me, and I was like, I'm not after anything. I just would love to know where I originate from, but that was the end of it. They didn't keep up the correspondence. Anyway, yeah.
So interesting. I've had people on my ancestry.com contact me. One in particular, this young man, he just had his first child, young in his 30s. And he said, I was trying to figure out how we were related, and he's pretty closely related, like second cousin, first cousin, second cousin. And we figured out, he was adopted. And so it was much like that. But I connected him with his sisters who were also adopted. I mean, it was just actually a really beautiful story because they all end up connecting and
That's
meeting
amazing.
and became kind of family. But he didn't really connect with his parents so much, but with his siblings, he did.
But you located them then, or
Yeah, I helped them all
wow.
find
Okay,
each
nice.
other. Yeah, it was r really, really a beautiful thing. They,
Yeah, it is.
yeah. And they're my cousins too, right, that I never knew existed. So, and I still keep in touch. You want to hear something so weird? Is one of them looks almost identical to me, so
Really?
much like more than my own children.
Really? Crazy. Yeah, no, I've got all this family out there, and that's it. I feel, I've got a few cousins and stuff, and from my mum's side, but yeah, that's pretty much it for me. Yeah.
I hear that sometimes, and I fear it for myself, how life changes so much when both of your parents are gone.
Yeah, it does. I mean, that's actually 3 years this week then since my mum passed.
Oh, sorry.
Which, like, oh no, thanks. It's interesting, like, because there's always, the first Christmas, the first anniversary of her passing, her first birthday, my, but all these firsts, that first year, and then for me, the second year, it was still Stang. This one, I feel like it's now. It's like, all right, can do this. The anniversary of passing just came around, and I was like, all right, I'll acknowledge it, but it wasn't, this outpouring of just, sorrow or anything like that at this point. It's 3 years on, it's kind of like, all right, well, it is what it is at this point,
It's not, grief is so weird. You know how they say it comes in waves, and it's so true because even I had a moment last week about my dad. I just super sad. It lasted for days, and there was one point I was laying in my bed, and it was almost like, I don't know if you've ever had an anxiety attack, but like I couldn't shake it, the grief, and it was so painful. And I remember like tossing in my bed a little bit, going, I can't shake this, and it's so uncomfortable and it's so painful. So it was really weird. I mean, that's been almost 8 years.
I expect that it'll hit me every now and again, but it's just that first year I just really like crawled into it. I got to a point where I just felt like I can't physically cry anymore. There was just, I was like, this is too much. I can't just carry on like this, and I think now it kind of, I feel it rise, and then it's like, no, I'm not done enough of this now, so I don't know. Of course, we all experience it in different ways, and no way's the right way, I guess. It just, yeah, it's got to deal with it, and I suppose just get used to it. I think that's what it comes
Like the
down
new
to.
norm.
Yeah, like using words like easier or better don't feel correct, but I think you just adapt and sort of mold yourself around it. It's there, but at some point it seems that you have to get on with the rest of life, right?
Where's your kitty cat?
Locked outside the living room, like she was just going nuts a minute ago. Yeah, she was just fed her, and then she's still circling me. So I'm just like, no, no
Oh.
way.
Well, since I've had you on last, you've wrote two books.
Yeah, well, yeah, one more, and in the process of writing a third one. Yeah,
Wow. That's amazing.
you read the second one, right?
Yes, I thought that. Did you not send me some of the third? Oh, you did. You sent
I
me a
did,
little
yeah.
bit, a few little things, because you've had such synchronicity.
Yeah, I mean that the I guess we should be talking about the second one, but that like my
Yeah.
mind on the third
But
one
even
already.
in the second one, lots of synchronicity.
Right. Yeah, it's a I felt like so the end of by the end of writing Letting Glow, I felt that I'd learned so much about mediumship, spiritual practices in general that I didn't really know anything about before. I've got so much to learn still. But I felt, well, you know, by the time I finished it, I felt like I was kind of light years ahead of when I started it, you know. So I
Right.
just had this whole other stuff that I wanted to talk about. And just going back to grief as well, kind of when I finished that first book after my mom had passed away. When it ended, then I was like, okay, shit, now I've got to deal with this again, you know. So it was the books came initially through grief, but I was learning all these amazing things that it kind of helped. And then I just felt like, okay, I've got to share this with people. And then, yeah, like you say, you know, kind of a lot of amazing experiences, kind of mystical experiences that never really taken much notice of before, you know, and until all this stuff around my mum passing. Yeah.
Yeah. So, it's interesting because, I'm writing a book too. And, you actually helped me in many ways decide that I was going to do a trilogy because,
All right.
I felt like it, my, the process of what I was learning was never ending. So this book was either going to be like a Bible, like a huge, task. And it was stressful thinking of it that way. And
So when
then,
you and you've got a deadline, right? So I heard so.
I know. Oh, I love Neil Donald Walsh so much.
Yeah, no, yeah. What was it? May? Did you say or
He
something?
said May 1st. Yes, I'm sorry to
Oh,
just sweat as you say this.
no pressure. Yeah.
No. But the task is a lot less when I kind of took the pressure off of ever having an end to this first book, because I felt like it was never going to end, because I was constantly evolving and growing and still receiving. There was still so much more, like it wasn't, there was no end to it. So I felt like the book was going to go on forever. But I guess that's kind of like with life and this journey.
Yeah, I guess so. I sort of had a opposite experience with that in this last year since, you know, I wrote the first two books back to back, and then I got caught up in the sort of publicity of the first book and, you know, doing talks and a few workshops and of course podcasts and all that kind of stuff. As much as I enjoy this process, it kind of took me away from sort of and of course I've got to do bit this and that, you know, bits and pieces, jobs here and there to pay the bills. So it kind of took me away from, you know, the sort of more creative side. And I'm like, where's the third book? You know, I'm like, I just wrote two back to back. Where's the third one?
Yeah.
You know? And then when it started coming through, well, I just started writing actually, right at the end of my trip to Iraq, funnily enough. And then I was thinking, okay, so here it is. But now as it's going on, I feel like it's not part of that actually. I feel like it's something else on its own. So yeah, I feel like this other one now is turning into something else entirely. I mean,
Yeah.
it's very much connected to it, you know, it's still my
Right.
story, but yeah, it's crazy how it's working out. Yeah.
It's divine.
Yeah, I mean, it's something. Yeah, I don't know what's
Yeah.
going on. I mean, it's so strange. There was like in the second book, in Glow and Deeper, you know, there were little bits again, and even with the first one that I believe I didn't write, and then there were second in some parts in the second one that seemed to be like a conversation, like brief little bits, and then this third one, it's just all me having a conversation with something. So it's like, I'm like, wait, am I
Wow.
going nuts? But I mean, you know, obviously, I'm not the first to do this. We're just talking about Neil Donald Walsh and others before him and after him. But it's interesting because I'll test it. You know, I'll be like, I know that I don't know these things. You know,
Isn't that so crazy? That's
it's nuts.
the whole thing that is so remarkable in my journey too. I'm like, I could have never came up with this shit on my own. There's just no way. Like Shanna does not think this way. I don't, I have no background that would explain some of the things that I've received.
Yeah, that's it exactly. Like I know that I don't know that stuff. It's smarter than me. It's as simple as
Right.
that. Like if I try to talk about it, I can't talk about it. I can write it,
Right.
read it later. But if I try
Yeah.
to talk to you about it on the fly, I don't know how to talk about that stuff. You know,
I,
so.
you know what? I have the same, especially when I'm talking to like scholars about certain things, about like history and stuff. It's like, well, I'm not sure about all that, but this is what I received. And when they tell me that these
It's
things
like
weave
right.
together.
Yeah,
I'm like,
yeah.
well, that's just incredible. That's just weird.
No,
Like, I did not know that.
yeah, no, I'm sort of, I put up a bit of a fight at the start of it, and now I'm just kind of trusting it and seeing, let's see where it goes. Yeah,
All
yeah.
right, so you're letting go, and now you're
That's
going
it. Yeah.
deeper.
Yeah.
But you know
So.
what? That's the journey. It's almost like when I have to go back and read and edit the beginning of my book, it's so far from me. And I think you had expressed this too, that you are so far beyond that now. So you're like graduating with each book.
Yeah, that's it. That's it. I've definitely still got so much to learn. I'm just starting a new circle because I haven't
Cool.
really been sort of actively sort of developing mediumship and all of that stuff. So yeah, I feel like I'm just starting. It's like day one again. Studying with a lady that actually sort of helped inspire all of this called Claire Broad. I wrote about her in both books.
Yeah.
I'm the first medium that I read some of her books, and then I went to a class of hers, and now going to be in her circle. So yeah, I can't wait for that.
Wow.
Yeah, I feel like it was kind of, I've been in other circles along the way. I've met other mediums, but I feel like coming back to Claire, that it's like, all right, now I can, sort of get on with this properly. Yeah.
Full circle, joining her circle.
Yeah, that's it. That's it.
So, how much of what you're receiving today is connected to just being aware? Because I know you were saying you were busy and it was taking you away from that. My personal opinion, knowing you, and you have a really good way of making space for yourself. I don't.
Right. Yeah. I mean, I suppose, again, I've caught up, got caught up with stuff. I've had to, like I say, do this and that, random jobs. I'm trying not to commit to anything. I'm tentatively thinking about how to maybe do an online circle myself, something like that. Possibly make a bit of money working within where I'm heading, But in the meantime, I'm just doing sort of menial jobs. So I suppose the benefit of that is that I can sort of pick and choose where I can make time for myself. I think one of the themes of Letting Glow of both books was, and sort of in answer to your question now, is again, I talk about it a lot, but stepping back from your thoughts and sort of making that space that you don't get caught up in all the madness of everything that you're getting bombarded with, and you sort of can detach and be the observer or the backseat driver or whatever term you want to call it, and be in that awareness. And I feel I might be lucky that I find it sort of relatively easy
Yeah.
to be able to just take a moment, and it comes quite easy.
Do you crave it in some way sometimes?
I do, but I'm guilty of forgetting to do it. I'll get caught up, as we all do, in all everyday stuff. And then when I take that moment, I'm like, oh yeah, of course. And I was hoping to do it before our conversation, but I've been running everywhere today. But yeah, I think that's what the key is. And yeah, the third book is very much about that. There's some stuff that, again, that I've learned through it that I haven't read elsewhere, but it's essentially reciting pretty much what we're all talking about, about just all
Yeah.
we've got is now. We can create our own reality. I mean, I'm not, reinventing the wheel here.
Yeah.
And that, we need to take time for ourselves and each other. And this, it seems to be the overall theme through all of these works, right? From all of us. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I know. So, it's so funny because oftentimes when I feel that things aren't going, smoothly, or maybe I don't even realize they are, because I'm so busy or whatever.
Yeah.
I realize that it's truly just me in my own way. I'm
Yeah.
creating the chaos and allowing it.
Yeah. No, same with me. Same with me. Or every time, actually, when I
Yeah.
slow down and look at it all. Yeah. But in
Yeah.
terms of, yeah, just kind of creating that space to get into that awareness, I feel like possibly relatively lucky that I can just pretty much turn it on and off at will, I think. I don't know if that's through perseverance practice or what we talked about before last time, when I was telling you about having that possible psychotic break. I'm sorry, I
Yeah.
shouldn't, I don't mean to dismiss, anyone that does have
Yeah.
a go through anything like that. But I thought I was going insane. I thought I wanted to check out of here, and then I looking at it from a different angle. Thankfully, I met the right person that said, no, this is an awakening. Maybe a psychotic break and an awakening can potentially be the same thing. I've definitely not qualified to say, and I'm definitely not dismissing mental illness, but I feel like after that very profound experience that I went through for a year, the better part of 2 years, I felt like I came out of it able to just sort of tune into the moment and just sort of focus, like, on the constant moment of now, which is just blows your mind when you start going into all of it.
Oh yeah, for sure. And you know what? I was just I would say that also equivalent to that mental shift, there's also sometimes pain. A decade ago it was what kind of put me over. So I think it can come in many forms. You know, I guess that's being multidimensional.
No, that's it. I feel like I'm coming back to that again and again, and I kind of didn't want to make that thing, but just going back to that moment of now, that seems to be my message for all of it. You know, the mediumship is fascinating, and you know, I will continue developing it, but I feel like it's turning into more about the experiences that I'm able to share. And that one seems to resonate a lot, because that whole connection with the moment of now thing is so crazy. You know, it just goes off into stuff that I feel like I'm not qualified to talk about in terms of quantum physics and timelines and like crazy stuff that all just comes from, you know, being able to connect with this moment right now. I
Yeah.
feel like I'm sort of learning about it all the time, even though I went through what I felt was a horrific experience of being trapped in the moment of now some years ago. I sort of put that behind me, and now it's like here we are again. I'm just thinking about that, writing about that a lot.
You know what I'm wondering now? You know how a lot of times you hear of people being stuck, and I know a lot of people who are stuck. I wonder if that's similar, you know, of what they're experiencing.
I suppose the variables of it, I mean, this again, just talking from that experience, I wasn't caught up in kind of worrying about this and that. I truly would felt detached from myself, looking at my own thoughts, and but it was like thrust on me really quickly, and then and it was just like now. Couldn't switch it off. I couldn't think, what am I going to do tonight? What did I do yesterday? What's happening next week? It was kind of like, what the hell is this? Like, where did that moment just go? Like, this is insane. Like, when you get down to the nuts and bolts of it, I started reading sort of scientific literature and sort of came to the conclusion that nobody actually knows what's going on, you know. Just these theories. There are sort of traditional theories of the timeline that we all, you know, agree upon, and which is clearly a thing, because we go from A to B, and we can look at the past and have a shared past and all the rest of it. But then there is the only way that we're experiencing everything is actually just now all the time. So if there's only now all the time, then anything's possible, right?
You know, it's crazy. Like, and I don't know if I mentioned this, I might have in the last time I had you on, but your experience reminds me that now reminds me of when I was doing the small dose of mushrooms.
Microdosing,
Microdosing. There you go. I felt like I couldn't get out of the now. I couldn't think about hours ago and I couldn't really go forward. Everything was just so very present to me. And of course, I wasn't trying to reject it. That was intentional. So if it just came on like that out of nowhere, right?
It was like somebody had spiked me, essentially. I just woke up, had the thought, and then something just switched, and I was like, whoa, and just flew into a full-blown panic attack, tried to walk it off, thought, okay, I tried to drink it away, I tried to work out at the gym, I tried to do everything I could to be
Right, you went
distracted.
to therapy, didn't you? And told your therapist.
Yeah, I went to two doctors that said it was psychosis, gave me meds didn't touch it. I took sleeping pills, and I would wake up and it would just all start all over again. It was kind of horrific. You know, people talk about being in the present moment as this beautiful thing.
Powers
It
now.
But it was, but it was like the polar opposite of that guy's experience. It's like the road up. And I
Oh my
never read
God.
that book, so actually, I'm not, I shouldn't read.
Oh, that is the best. You've got to. That's one of the best books. It really is.
But I guess we came to the same conclusion, but like in very different ways. And through meditation, I kind of sort of came back online or offline, depending which way you look at it. A few years down the line, I seem to have can appreciate what actually happened, you know.
So, are you the one who told me to read that book by Viktor Frankl?
Don't think so. I'm not sure of
The
the name.
man, oh, maybe I told you to read that book.
Maybe.
This book is about being basically in the midst of the absolute worst chaos, if you can imagine, in a concentration camp. But I want to say he was a psychologist and he was using these tools, you know, to get through this. But oftentimes, like if I am in a room of like, you know, a bunch of negative people or even just too many people, and there's so much energy going on, like the best thing I can do is like put myself in this bubble, you know, of protection, like wrap myself. I like imagine myself like being wrapped up really quickly, like like a superhero, wrapping myself up in this protective bubble. And it is like this. strange mental state. If we could become more accepting, like if you would have been, okay, I'm going to accept this now instead of rejecting it, not because you didn't know what was going on, it happened so abruptly. But I mean, I bet there's lots of different mental states that we're faced with like that, where if we had the tools and knew what to do.
I've thought about this as well because, I sort of relate it to going into this huge panic, whenever whatever happened,
Hey.
and I have thought, well, would being in that state and that and it, what felt like the purest state of awareness. And where to the point where I personally seemed like absurd, my life seemed absurd, everything about it. There was just now, this is all there is. If I could have tapped into that, like you say, in a different way and just sort of accepted it and then sort of been like, okay, I want $1 million, like what's going on? Could I suddenly start manifesting like crazy or something? I don't know.
Because I mean, I didn't just know to wrap myself up. I mean, of course, I had horrible experiences prior to that when I didn't know what to do that put me into panic.
I live right across the street from a train station, relatively quiet street, but just around the corner, it's like people just getting on and off trains. And I often use the place as a shortcut. And when I first moved to this apartment that we're in now, I would be in a great mood. I'd go across the street, cut through the train station, and then be like, damn, like what the hell? What's the matter with me now? You know what I mean? And somebody pointed out, they were like, stop cutting through the train station. You're just picking up this massive people that just like pushing past and everyone's in a hurry and this and that, and you're just picking up on everyone's energy like out of nowhere, and then it puts you in a bad mood, and then that person was telling me about putting a protective bubble around yourself, like when you're kind of in those sort of overwhelming social situations.
Yeah, I call it my unfuckwithable bubble.
Sounds good. It's a good name. Yeah, I'm not sure if I could repeat it like without messing
Yeah.
up.
My best friend Mandy one time, oh my God, we were laughing so hard. It was on a podcast when she was my co-host. She said it's like putting on a condom.
That works too. I mean, I guess it kind of
Not
is.
how you visualize it. Yeah, you can visualize all kinds of things. I mean, I laugh sometimes, because you'll run into people and they're in a bad mood and you're like, I haven't even seen you, or sir, I don't know you. Whatever
Oh,
it is.
yeah.
And
Welcome to
I've always said,
London.
you could just put flames in front of you. You just put them up right in front of you, visualize them.
You should just like step out here in London at 8 o'clock in the morning. People are on their way to work. It's like a horrendous, horrendous way to start the day.
But I mean, the energy of the world is, it's got to be affecting us, even if it's not consciously, affecting you. It's affecting, it's like it spreads, kind of like how COVID did with fear.
Yeah, I think it all works like that. Yeah, absolutely.
It's crazy. We're in some weird times. And so that's why, I mean, what is your hope with your second book, Glowing Deeper?
With going deeper, I just feel that this kind of wrote what I would like to read. So it very much focuses on mystical aspects and history. Like I kind of wrote a sort of brief history of the esoteric. I say, like, again, there's so much, If I was going to read a book about mediumship and ghosts and paranormal, as well as continues my kind of own grieving journey, this book's less about me and more about the bigger picture, I think. But I just thought I'd have some fun with it and throw this whole section in the middle about sort of like Celtic rituals, witchcraft,
I
shaman.
remember reading this now. This was a while ago that I read this, but now I'm remembering and I appreciated all of
But yeah,
that
what you
work
mentioned,
that you did.
so I'm going off track a little, but you mentioned about the whole New Orleans aspect, that I was like, oh man, I totally missed a trick there, to bring that into it. I was talking about witchcraft in Europe, the 1200s. It went on for a long while. I forgot about the whole sort of voodoo side of things as well, that would have tied nicely into it. But anyway, just kind of all these things came about, and then just looking into spells, tarot cards, astral projection, anything that I thought would be like interesting to somebody that would might read a book about mediumship at the end of the day, and just kind of just try to touch on as much as I could. And again, I was learning about these things as I wrote it, so it was just kind of just like the excitement of getting it all out there.
I remember doing the rosary with my mama and Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord's with thee, and I know you didn't grow up like that,
No,
receiving that.
I didn't
But
ever.
we have all of these little sayings and rituals. They're rituals. And he had brought to me that, that's a spell. When you're saying, our father or whatever, these are all like spells.
Yeah, definitely. That's something really interesting as well that I kind of sort of came up with when I was learning about witchcraft, and talking about spells in general, just sort of essentially what are they? They're kind of like affirmations in a way, right? We're talking about the reality that we want to come from these words that we're chanting, or it's kind of setting this thing into motion, which you would like to happen. I feel like there's so many similarities in many of these things. And yeah, that's interesting. Like you say, it's crazy. Like, and again, when you sort of break it down, you think about the power that are in words themselves as well. But then the power really comes from the perception of it, right? Like
Right, or the
what you say.
intention.
Yeah.
So I had this circle a while back and we were talking about like the Garden of Eden and how, eating from the tree of knowledge was going to give you this knowledge of how to discern whether something was good or bad. But what I think is good or bad, Phil, you may see as something totally different. And so, across the world especially, we all know on a small scale what's right and wrong, what's good or bad. But as you move out further, what I do may be totally, evil to somebody else.
Yeah, especially like just having been going back to that Middle East kind of thing.
Yeah. So
How
who's
I
right or wrong, in some way? Really, nobody when it comes to that. I always look for the etymology of a word may mean. I think I might have told you that the word heresy actually means choice. Did I tell you about that? I
I'm
mean,
not
that's
sure.
that blows my mind. I mean, so heresy was such a bad thing. I mean, you could die for it, if you talking about even like the witch trials and stuff like that,
He was going to die
anything
at the
outside
stake.
of this little bubble, and that it was the choice. You could not have choice.
Yeah, that's fascinating. Yeah, when you talk about that whole section of my book on witchcraft is talking about heresy as well. Yeah, around the 1200s, there were these group of they weren't nuns, Beguines. I think you pronounce it Beguine. They were kind of almost nuns without the complete devotion to the church, and they kind of started talking about this very what how we talk about spirituality today. Of this, sort of all-embracing God rather than the agreed upon sort of Catholic version up until that time. The notion of the self being connected with the divine, the universe, the all that is, at an intuitive level rather than following religious doctrines. And essentially, the church called that heresy
Yeah.
and burning people at the stake.
They burnt the nuns.
Yeah, well, they weren't nuns. They were called Beguines. They
I don't
sort
know
of,
about
yeah. Hopefully, I'm pronouncing it right. I believe it's just like we would say begin. But it's spelled kind of like Gyne. But yeah, they would associate themselves with monks at the time. And one sort of, I don't know how entertaining the idea was, but the one part of what I wrote in Glowing Deeper was these monks who were associated with the Beguines. They were kind of in separate quarters, right, in these monasteries where they stayed. And some of the monks started complaining about having erotic dreams. And essentially, the first culprit was, well, it's them Beguines that are talking about, spirituality for all. And we have this all loving God. They're sort of, and they were the first ones to get the blame. And I believe, I mean, and other people have their interpretations about this, but that really sounded to me like the very beginning of the witch, Of course, the witch is talked about in the Bible as well. But yeah, this kind of
Blaming the woman for
the woman for
just
it,
being
yeah.
feminine.
And then one of these ladies wrote a book and self-published it essentially, and people started taking notice of it, and she got burned at the stake, yeah, in
I
Paris.
would have been burned, Phil. How is that? They say like over 200,000 women accused and burned.
Yeah, and one of the craziest things that I found through this was that witchcraft, the Witchcraft Act, as they called it, and that was essentially people hunting witches, which went on a lot, and of course in Salem and all the rest of it, wasn't abolished in the UK until 1951, which is nuts again, right? I mean, no one was
That's
actually doing it by that,
crazy.
but it still existed until the 50s. Yeah, it's
Oh
like,
my God.
isn't it? It's like 20 years before I was
See,
born,
no
but.
wonder. I remember doing some ancestry for someone, who was in Salem, and I actually talked about it in that episode. I mean, this woman in her papers, because you can actually read some of the court papers of the Salem witch trial. I mean, Literally, it said she had soap making materials.
Right. Yeah, I remember
Like,
you
that
saying
was
that.
one of her offenses.
Yeah.
Like,
How
you're
dare
reaching.
they? Yeah. No, it's horrific. It really is.
So it
Yeah.
kept us small and it kept us from going deeper, you know, into our intuition, into that now, into that space.
Well, that's it. We'd be, I mean, me too, you know, we'd be burned at the stake, you know, like me, anyone that
Yeah.
said that they could talk to dead people or any of that. Yeah, kept that stuff to yourself back then.
Yeah, it's a shame too. I mean, I had one time somebody tell me that I was promoting evil because I promoted self-love.
Right. Yeah, that's a new one. I mean, that's a pretty narrow way to look at things, I'd say. I've had a couple of people on. I mean, I'm not really much of a TikTok person or anything like that, but for the few things that I've posted on there, I've had a couple of interesting responses to that, like messing with stuff you shouldn't mess with and all the rest of it.
I've heard that too. Isn't
Yeah.
that so sad? They're so conditioned by all of these things that obviously held great fear, you know, I guess, but it is passed down in us. And
Yeah.
so I think that's one of the reasons why when you do come to have this awareness that you're more than a meat suit, then all of a sudden you think, is this psychosis? Is what is this? Like, your body, your mind starts to reject, you know, what it's been trained to do for generations.
Even though I'm 100% all in with this, I'll catch myself still being skeptical about most things. You know, I've seen mediums at work that have been amazing, you know, and then a few days will go by and I'll be like, did
Yeah.
this really, you know? Is that conditioning or what is that? Or is it just sort of natural? Is that our inherent way to look at it? I don't know, you know, but it's like I kind of don't buy into everything just because it's a spirit, something spiritual, but I feel like it's my sort of natural state to question everything. And I wonder what that's
Right.
for, where that's from. I wonder if that is from conditioning, like you
Sure.
say, just yeah, how
I
things have been
think I
passed
do
down.
that too still, Phil. In fact, I had
Yeah.
that not too long ago. And you know what I decided to do is I decided to just say whether or not that's their experience.
Well, yeah, that's it at the end of
You
the
know?
day. You know, either people were like, okay, and quietly just didn't mention it after they read it, or people loved it. You know, they were
Yeah.
like, some people even said, one of the best spiritual books I've ever read. But anyway, it was very divisive, you know, and all I can do is say what's happened to me, what's worked for me,
Yeah.
what's opened up to me, and you know, this is the way that I've gone on to sort of explore it. And these are
Sure.
the things that have happened along the way, but I'm definitely not trying to convince anyone, you know.
Yeah.
But interestingly, you know, like a lot of the stuff that I wrote about 5 years ago, I'd have been like, nah, don't think so, you know. I get it why people are skeptical.
Oh,
Yeah,
yeah. I would
until
have
you see
thought I was
it.
nuts. I would have been like, that girl is crazy.
Right. Yeah.
I mean, I was so conditioned. You
Yeah.
know, I've always been one of those people who just wanted to do as I'm told and be good and do all the right things. But it was never for me, you know, all of that being was based on other people's beliefs, conditions, and the
Yeah.
system.
Yeah. So yeah, I didn't have the religious upbringing that you had, but just I feel like I received an insight through writing this third book, and I was like, God, that makes so much sense. Whatever was coming through, whether it's me or a guide or what have you, but I was just talking about how I kind of had this oppressive stepdad, stepbrother, all that kind of thing, and how I just made myself a lot smaller to make him feel more comfortable, you know. And there's something I'd never even thought of before I started writing this book, and it's not really like stuff that I'm harboring or sort of carrying around, like, you know, I believe that I dealt with that stuff a while back, but I was like, yeah, I never kind of thought of that in that respect,
That's
all these things.
huge.
Yeah, like in a similar way to sort of conforming to a religious upbringing or something like that, I just kind of like put this stuff away to make this dude feel more comfortable about himself, you know. And then I
Yeah.
noticed that would follow through with any kind of authority, especially male authority through my life. I would always kind of put myself in the back. I'd be like, oh, no, I'll let them take charge. You know, this is
Yeah.
just to keep the peace, you know, to not sort of
Yeah.
step up and say, well, no, this is what I think. I'd rather just let somebody else take the reins until recently. Yeah. But yeah, I,
See,
you know.
you know what's interesting too is I think that a lot of these things, even if you're not brought up in religion.
Mm.
There's it's still so very generational, you know,
Yeah.
it's coming through the generations, and people are breaking from that, but a lot of it does root back to all of that,
Yeah. No,
which I
that's
think you saw,
amazing.
you know, in your book when you were going through, you know, researching the esoteric and all of the heresy.
Yeah, absolutely, absolutely. Yeah, I'd be really interested to sort of learn more about past life trauma, all that kind of stuff. People are talking about it a lot lately. I've sort of dipped my toe in it, but yeah, there's a lot that I need to learn about there.
Yeah.
Yeah, there's more, you know,
Yeah.
all around it. Yeah, I think it's just
You know,
part of
and
it.
you have such a beautiful voice, and I love your meditations that you put out, and when you're reading your book, I love that you do that.
No, thank you very much. Thank you. Yeah, the guided meditations, I really enjoyed doing them. Like I've given a few workshops and talks, and people seem to come
Right.
like have a lot of good feedback about the meditations in particular. Yeah, thanks. But yeah, hopefully I can expand them into sort of longer ones. And I really like the idea of sort of like a guided journey, you know,
Love
that
that.
really works for me at least.
Yeah, for sure. I, you know, when I was first moving into this world, this new dimension that I'm in, I really had to be guided. I mean, because I could not turn it off for myself.
No, I still use them. I still use other people's. Like I'll listen a lot to a medium here called Gordon Smith. He's got a lot of good guided meditations. Yeah, Claire Broad as well. She's got a few on YouTube. Yeah, it is such a helpful tool, you know, to sort of cut out the rest of the noise, you know. Guided meditations, they definitely make it so much easier to if you're especially if you're starting with, you know, to learn about meditation.
Yeah. Well, I'm so glad that we've connected so that we can have these kind of conversations. And
Me
you've
too.
definitely become someone who I'm fond of, and I love our friendship. So
You too, absolutely. No, thank you. Yeah, I really appreciate you. And thank you for the kind words about the books. And I'll definitely continue to send you more bits and pieces of what I'm writing at the moment. Because I really value your opinion on them, especially. Yeah.
oh.
Yeah.
Well, thank you very much. You've helped me as well. And tell everybody where they could find your beautiful voice
Yeah,
so they
so
can listen.
that's a very, very limited, maybe I should say exclusive
All right.
audience.
Well, we want more. We want more.
Yeah, on my fledgling YouTube channel and same on TikTok. Letting Glow the Book on YouTube, probably on TikTok as well. Otherwise, I'm Phil Webster with two L's in philwebster.com and then Phil Webster on Instagram. That pretty much covers it. And then the books are available in all the usual book places, Barnes and Noble, Amazon, of course, and yeah, anywhere that you can think of. Yeah.
Awesome. Well, when you're ready to do the New Orleans tour, let me
Yeah,
know and I'll
love
meet
to.
you.
Yeah, no, I'd love to. Have you been to London
Oh,
before?
no, I would love to, though. It's definitely on my list. And I would love to meet Gavin. So, yeah, I
Yeah,
would love to
me too.
eventually, you
All
know, for sure. Thanks so much, Phil. Have a
right.
good night.
You too. All right, take care.
All
I'll speak
right.
to you.
All
All right,
right.
bye.
Bye. Thanks for listening to Sense of Soul Podcast, and thanks to our special guests for joining me. If you want more of Sense of Soul, check out my website at www.mysenseofsoul.com, where you can work with me one-on-one or help support Sense of Soul Podcast by donating to my coffee fund. Thanks for listening.